Please. And let's go over to Proverbs 10. Just a minute, I want to find something so I don't have to hunt for it. Okay, here it is. Proverbs chapter 10. And you want to probably take this, okay? Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for the anointing on me and these lips of clay that I may speak forth your word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness. Ask you now to think through my mind, speak through my lips, and this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to read this again. This is a scripture that you know, it's familiar to you. It says in verse 22, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Now, I've been meditating on that because that is a powerful scripture. It's kind of a dividing line, if you will. Now, what I said is you can look at it and say, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow. Well, let's look at the word sorrow and see where sorrow comes from. Put something right there, please, and go with me back to Genesis and Genesis chapter 3. Now, this is when God had spoken to Adam and told him not to eat of the tree. But Adam disobeyed God, as you know, and he ate of it. And some results follow. Verse 17. And unto Adam, he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, the saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. All right. Notice what he said. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth what? No sorrow. All right. So sorrow here is a result of the curse. So the sorrow here, I want to read that out of the Amplified, if you will. Just give me that Amplified there. Okay. The same verse, that's Genesis chapter 2, 3. And verse what? 17, okay. And he says this, and unto Adam he said, because you have listened, and given, oh, we got it on the board, praise God. May the Lord be with you. And Adam, he said, because you have listened and given heed to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. The ground is under a curse because of you. In sorrow and what?
Sorrow.
toil shall you eat of it, of the fruit of it, all the days of your life. So sorrow and what?
Toil.
All right. Now, I look up the word toil. And when I looked up the word toil, it says to labor with pain or fatigue and fatigue. To labor with pain and fatigue. Labor that opposes or oppresses the body or mind. It means to work, to exert, to labor, to labor in pain and fatigue of the body with efforts of some continuance or duration. Now, let me try to put our arms around that. So basically, to labor with pain and fatigue. All right, look at Genesis chapter 1. And this is when God said, let there be. God said, let there be. God said, let there be. All right. Now, once he finished, let's look at chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his what? Work, which he had made. And he rested on the what day? Seventh day. From all his what? Work, which he had what? Made. Question. Did he rest because he was fatigued? Why did he rest? He was done. He was done. So he is not quitting because he's tired. He's done. So he stops. So God worked. Now, how did God work? He just spoke. Let there be. Let there be. And he called it work. Isn't that wonderful? He called it work. He just spoke and called it work. No wonder he wasn't tired. Does that make sense to you? Now understand, you have been created in his what? Image and after his likeness. That means you're the exact, image means exact duplicate of kind. Likeness means you function or operate like him. So God spoke and called it work. This is powerful stuff here. Now, if you don't want to go with me, this is a good time to sit in the car, because this is we're going pretty far out there here. So look at chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living what? Soul. Okay? The Hamash translation, it tells me, says this: man became a speaking spirit like God. See, man came out of God, just like a woman has a baby coming out of her. See, God did not speak man into existence. He had man formed in him, and he came out of God. He didn't speak him into existence like he spoke a tree or animal, whatever have you. Came out of God. I said he came out of God. You got what I'm saying? So now this is very, very interesting, because this speaking thing seems to be so powerful that God can speak and call it work. That's some nerve, isn't it? I know some of y'all just want to sit down and just speak things into existence. All right, so he's created like God. So now, here is God. He's going to put man to work. Remember, toil came under the curse. But now you've been redeemed, and the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow or painful toil. Okay? Edna, because you've been redeemed. Now the thing that we got to do is we got to renew our minds, because our minds are the things that keeps us from walking in the fullness of the blessing that God has for us. Our minds keep us doing that. You can have $1 million in the bank of San Francisco. If you don't know it, you'll die without it. The same thing about your body. These things just don't happen. They happen and they come up and manifest because you believe. God cannot just put it on you and do it to you and so forth without you having some mental will. You've got to, if he violated your will, then that's not the way this thing is set up. He gave the earth over to Adam. So now let's see what he did here. Look at verse 18 of chapter 2. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be all one or alone. That is a contraction, mean all one. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would name, he would call them. Now here's Adam about to go to speak in here. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. All right. So Adam's calling things. Now, how about the animals? Where'd they come from? Okay, God. Well, it says here, I'm just reading the Bible now. That's all I want to do is read the Bible. Okay? It said in verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to who? Adam, to see what he would what? Call them. All right? So God brought them to Adam to see what he would what? Call them. So how did the animals get to Adam? It says, read the Bible. How did the animals get to Adam? You know, say it like you got some confidence in the Bible. All right? So, notice Adam didn't have to go out and look for him. You know, hey, giraffe. I started to say, hey, Jerome. But hey, giraffe. Okay. But notice, he didn't do that. God brought him there. Adam had no reason to get fatigued. Not at all. Not at all. Why do you think people look forward to retirement? See the word tired? You heard the word tired in there, didn't you? You know, and I know, if you're excited about what you were doing. See, that's what I say about people. And even, you know, people work here and everything. The thing that I want in any company is people who love doing what they're doing. I don't think there's anything worse in trying to pump somebody up who can't stand their job. And now you've got to supply all the energy that you can to keep them encouraged. When there are people that have been designated and love to do that particular job, love to do it. No problem. Isn't that something? Now, that's not in there, but I just threw that in there because that's dear to my heart. Yeah, do what you love doing. Now, somebody said, well, I can't really afford to do what I... Well, do what you do until you can afford to do what you want to do. Sometimes you have to do what you got to do what you want to do. You know what I mean? And that's all right, but make your aim your purpose. Because your purpose is going to make you happy. It's going to keep you with joy. Plus the fact the anointing is going to be maximized on your life. Yeah, enjoy doing it. Don't do it because, you know, well, I'm suffering for the Lord. No, you ain't. being a fool for the devil. And so what I'm saying, well, maybe not that, but I'm saying that don't put it on the Lord. Don't go that right. See? All right, you with me?
Amen.
Folks, if you enjoy what you're doing, it can be, you can be going through hard times with it, but you still enjoy it. You know you're in the perfect will of God and so forth like that, and you're going to stay right in that hard place because that thing's got a break in your life. Yes, it does. All right, that's for somebody in here tonight. I said it's going to break in your life. Whatever it is, the enemy has been trying to detain you, but he will not detain you anymore. That thing is going to break in your life tonight. I break it right now in the name of Jesus. I break that thing in Jesus' name. All right. So, no more toil. Now, that really is a revelation. Now, Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, "I cease not to give thanks, making mention to you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, given to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the greatness of his power to us who believe, according to his working mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, the fullness of him that filleth all and all." Praise God. All right. You got to know the word of God, by the way. So, it's a revelation. When Adam sinned, he started falling, and mankind is still falling. So from where he's fallen to and where he fell from is a long ways. And you can only get there by the revelation provided by the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is a teacher. But in him, there is no time. So he can actually show you a picture of Jesus going up to the woman at the well. Really, it'll show like a movie. Let me talk over here. And now, this that he's saying is no more toil. And I really believe that what has happened is that because the people of God have not been taught or had a revelation of what toil is, that many times we've been trying to work for what is given to us by grace. And that we've been busy toiling when we have neglected the grace and the ability of God that he gave us in the beginning, that we can make things happen with ease. And when we finish a day's work, we don't have to come home mad. Come on, or come home, can't wait to get into bed. I tell you, come on now. All right, come on, you know what I'm talking about. Now, I'm just telling you this because I think a lot of marriages will be a lot better off if, you know, I'm tired. You know, if we could get this thing together like it's supposed to be. All right, now, that's another teaching. All right. Now, listen, I'm just saying fatigue. And I think the enemy's job is to fatigue us. Sure, he is trying to wear us out. Got it? But it wasn't meant that you get fatigued, because you're going to imitate God. And God didn't quit because he was fatigued. He quit because he's finished. Say amen to this. So, in our lives, what I did is I tried to look up some places where, because this thing of grace has been on me, you know, over and over, and And grace really, it's not only God, it's moving God to have compassion towards his people. By grace are you saved through faith. But grace is also the God moving in the heart of a saint that strengthens that saint to have the ability to go through what they need to go through. Amen. You see, no more fatigue. And so he said, come boldly to the throne of where? Grace. See, so you, anytime you come in prayer and so forth, you get grace for that. So anyway, so I looked up some of these things and I started saying, okay, now where is no more toil? No more toil, because the main thing we're toiling for is provision. Am I right about it? That's the main thing people are getting fatigued about. They're trying to make enough money so that they can do what they need to do, whether it's pay the house note or whether the car note or whatever they need to do, trying to do that. That and toiling, trying to do it. Are you with me now? All right. So I started looking at that and I started seeing this whole toil. By the way, I was looking at the Tower of Babel. I don't know whether you've ever seen that before. The Tower of Babel. There's a profound truth in there. Let's just take a side trip here and look at the Tower of Babel. I think that's in Genesis chapter 11. Let's look at that real quick. Now, you don't mind if I don't have a real format for this, but I just do some raw teaching here. All right, look what it says here. He said, verse 1, the whole earth was one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found in a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they said one to another, go to and let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to and let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, these were not saints. These were devil worshipers, okay? Wicked people. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is what? One. And they have all one what? Language. And this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have what? Imagine to do. Now that just goes to show you, this is a profound truth here. That if ever a people get together on one accord and start speaking the same thing, nothing can be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. I think that is tremendous, really. So the enemy tried to keep us from being on one accord, try to keep sister talking about sister and brother, you know, so forth and so on. All right, now, let's look at one place that this happened. And let's see, I had some places down here. Let's go all the way over to Genesis in chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. All right, in Genesis chapter 22, this is when Abraham was told to offer up his son, Isaac. Now, this is the son that came through Sarah, and this is his only son that he and Sarah, and he's asking him to go now and offer him up. Look at verse 5. And Abram said to the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, he's going to offer up his seed, but notice what he called his seed. He called it worship. And look what it says here. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offerings and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father, and he said, here am I, thy son, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And then they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar of the wood. That's a whole teaching, binding of Isaac. Verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah what? Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So Jehovah Jireh means the God who sees and provides. So now, what did Abraham have to do to get this provision? Just obedience, right? Did he have to toil for it?
No.
So he didn't have to toil for this. This is kind of interesting now. He didn't have to try to figure out how God was going to do this. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I was reading in this book, and it's called America's God and Country, Encyclopedia of Quotations by a guy named William J. Federer, F-E-D-E-R-E-R. And it's talking here about George Washington Carver. He lived from 1864 to 1943. And he revolutionized the economy of the South by introducing hundreds of uses of the peanut, the soybean, pecan, sweet potato, in the place of cotton, because a cotton crop at that time, they'd been emancipated and so forth and so on. Now, it's kind of interesting about this because it says his discoveries from the peanut were over 3,000, and from the sweet potato, over 118. He said he made from the soybean, he made things from those products. He made things like cosmetics, face powder, lotion, shaving cream, vinegar, cold cream, printer's ink, salad oil, rubbing oil, instant coffee, leather stains for mahogany, synthetic tapioca, egg yolk, flour, paints, non-toxic colors, crayons, all kinds of things he created out of peanut. Now, he says something about this. He says, years ago, I went into my laboratory and said, Dear Mr. Creator. Now, there's something to that. Because you'll find that God will manifest in your life as you perceive him. And a lot of people don't perceive God as creator. Now, you know Jesus did. How do you know he did? Come on over here to Matthew chapter 15, please. Matthew chapter 15. Y'all don't mind if I just do a little teaching tonight, because Amen. Matthew chapter 15. Look at verse, come all the way down. And look at verse 29, Matthew 15 and verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh into the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. And cast them down at Jesus's what? Feet. And what did he do with them? He healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the who? Dumb to speak, the maimed to be made whole. Now, wait a minute. Now, hold it. Let's not just run off with that. The maimed. So what is a maimed person? One who is missing something. Got it? That person is maimed. And Jesus healed the maimed. Now that means that if their arm had been maybe in war, had been cut off, or diabetes, they had an amputation of the leg, they grew another one. Dear Mr. Creator, and see, because he saw God in that light, then God could manifest to him in that light. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I'm only saying that the reason why we're struggling many times and toiling and so forth is because of how we see God and how we getting revelation of how we are supposed to live as people of God. And so I'm only saying this to say that he's asking him, dear Mr. Creator. He said, I asked him, he said, what is the universe made for? And the great creator answered, you want to know too much for that little mind of yours. Ask for something more your size, little man. And he asked, please, Mr. Creator, tell me what man is made for. Again, the great creator replied, you're still asking too much. Cut down on the extent and improve the intent. Now, let's just wait a minute. We're here to learn something here tonight. So it tells me that if you're even asking for wrong motives, sometimes it's hard to receive the revelation of God. Say amen to this now. So even as we go down here, he said, then I asked, Mr. Creator, will you tell me why the peanut was made? He said, that's better. But even then, it's infinite. What do you want to know about the peanut? Mr. Creator, can I make milk out of a peanut? All right. Now that had to take some breakthrough to even ask that question. Say amen to this. Sometimes we read things in the Bible. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he didn't say, now, if it be you, tell me to swim. And I'll get, you know. He said, no, you walk. I'm just saying, sometimes the enemy has oppressed our ability to be able to even ask the right questions. But I want you to see here, God didn't respond until he was asked. Interesting. And he said this. He said, that's better. Even so, it's infinite. The Mr. Creator, can I make milk out of a peanut? What kind of milk do you want? Good Jersey milk or just plain boarding house milk? Good Jersey milk. And then the great creator taught me to take the peanut apart and put it back together again. And out of this process have come forth all these products. And he began to name these products. All right. He said here that God is going to reveal to us things that he never revealed before if we'll put our hands in his hands. No books ever go into my laboratory. The thing I am to do and the way I'm to do it are revealed to me. I never have to grope or struggle or toil for methods. The method is revealed to me the moment I am inspired to create something new. Without God to draw aside the curtain, I would be helpless. Now, why did I read you that? Because I really believe you're trying to figure out how I'm going to pay these bills has cut God out of the program. You can toil with your thinking. And I'm saying that the day for you to even struggle in your thought life is over. All right, let's go to Daniel. And let's go to Daniel in chapter 2, please. Are y'all with me? Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, there was a king, Nebuchadnezzar. He had a dream, but he didn't know what he dreamed. And what's more, he didn't know what the dream meant, but it disturbed him because he knew he dreamed something that was important and that really got his attention. All right, so what happened? He called his soothsayers and all the magicians and so forth, sorcerers, told them to tell him what he dreamed. They said, King, if you can just tell us what you dreamed, we'll tell you what it meant. He said, well, you're so smart, you tell me what I dreamed. I don't know what I dreamed. Now he got angry with them because they were trying to buy time. He said, no. He said, I tell you what, if you don't tell me what I dreamed, he said, and show me what I dreamed, I'm going to destroy you. I've forgotten what all he said. It's down there. All right. Verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. And Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth and to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known unto Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation thereon, the interpretation of it. Now notice what he didn't have. He didn't have much time. But he said, give me some time. Now I can guarantee you he didn't say, give me a month. Let me pray about it and come up with something. No, this thing was hasty. And verse 17, and Daniel went in to his house and made this thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven, the mercies of God of heaven, concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed to Daniel in the night vision, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of the God of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are whose? His. Now, I won't go any further. So, how did Daniel get the answer? He went to God. Did God have the answer?
Yes.
All right. Did Daniel toil with it all night long? What did Daniel do? He rested. He prayed and rested. And while he was asleep, the Holy Ghost showed him what the dream meant and what he dreamed and what this dream meant. Now, no more toil. No more toil. Whenever you're in trouble, Jesus comes to you. Remember they were out there toiling on the river and because the wind was contrary to them and Jesus came to them walking on the water? Whenever you're in trouble, come on, because you are under the blessing. And whenever you have a problem, Jesus comes to you. Now, I said something about what happens in these last days. Hold on, let me get my stuff here. I just got a bunch of good stuff. Say amen. The Holy Spirit has a job of making the benefactors of the covenant comfortable. The ministry of Christ on earth has been duly and completely handed over to the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Then he's with you. Now, I'm only saying that to say that if you have a situation, you didn't catch God by surprise. That you don't have to toil anymore to get out of that situation. I'm saying that if you learn that the blessing of the Lord, it makes you rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it, then you'll see that God will give you answers that you didn't struggle for. Can I keep going? Now this is so good until you can't even clap loud. I mean, really. Now I'm saying that, what's your situation right now? Whether it's financial, whatever it is, doesn't make any difference. God wants you whole. I tell you, folks, the only thing we got to do is believe this. There are things God cannot do for you until you believe. He said, if thou canst believe, all things become possible. All right. Let's just look at this. Let's go over to Luke chapter 5. No, we don't need to do that. Praise God. Can I show you some of these? The reason why, say no more toil. I want to take the toil out of your life. I take the toil completely out of your life. You have been redeemed from the curse. No more toil in your life. No more trying to figure out how to catch cane fear. No more of that. No more of that. No more. You just ask God and go to sleep. Go do something else. Come on. Confess the word. I'm saying no more toil. He's going to lead you out of every toil situation that you got going on in your life right now, starting right now. 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock tonight, Wednesday night. Come on, you coming out right now. We got to believe this, folks, and receive this thing. Say amen to this. Glory to God. Jesus didn't toil for a single answer. Turn to John chapter 6. See, I've got to get you faith for no toil. I'm done toiling. I'm done trying to figure out what to do with somebody who's, you know, with some situation, you know, there's something coming up and I'll tell you about it, but they're pressing me on it and so forth. I said, I don't have an answer yet. I said, God's given me an answer. I said, it hadn't come clear yet. I'm just waiting until it come clear. So he gave me part of it and that. And I asked him this morning, I said, Lord, what about the rest of that answer? He said, I'm going to give it to you. Just rest. Just go and do something else. Just take care of the ministry. I'll give it to you. Praise God. See, he's training you so that you'll wait on him. You don't let anything put you under pressure and make you think you got to make a decision right now. You got what I'm saying? Hey. Say, so wait a minute. If God didn't give it to you yet, that means God's going to hold it off until you make the decision, until he can say amen to that. The devil can't do anything with it, because as long as you trusted in God, your faith is stabilizing the situation and making sure that situation doesn't move. Say amen. It sounds like the right bunch I'm talking to. Look like I got a bunch of believers in here somewhere. Praise God. No more toil.
No more.
No more.
No more.
No more. Zero more. All right. Now, just watch this. Here's Jesus. They're following him because they saw the miracles that he did. Now, what did I tell you about miracles? All right, now watch this. Miracles are simply natural laws of the kingdom that people have not yet renewed their minds to, for the most part. In other words, God, most times, is not even moving. I mean, when I say this, we're talking about miracles of bread and so forth and so on. It's not that God has to make some bread or make some fish when it's time for it. It's already done. He saw that need and provided from the beginning of the world. Say amen to that. And because he did, he's resting now. You do what you got to do. Say amen to that. And so the laws are working to produce a miracle anytime you get ready for it. You don't have to wait on God. He's done his part. He's resting. Now he's trying to say, look at my kids go. Look at them. Watch it. Watch them feed 5,000 people. Watch them feed them now. Watch it. Watch it. See, I told you, see? See, that's Bill Winston, see? See, yeah, that's William there. That's my boy. Yeah. Say amen to that. I just told you, Carver said he just knew what to do. He didn't grope what to do. He didn't struggle what to do. He didn't go back and forth and so on. And besides that, you should see his laboratory. They still have it in the museum. It was all antiquated stuff. He didn't have all these nice modern Bunsen burners and test tubes. He had all kinds of antiquated cans and stuff. Come on now. I'm saying God can work through what you have. What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your mind? He can work with what level of education you have. I'm not against education. I'm not against this and that. But God, when he comes to you, I'm telling you, when you need something, God is right there. He said his answer to you is yes and amen. Now you stop worrying. I said stop worrying. No more worry. Say amen to that. No more toil in your life. No more worry in your life. Whatever's right now pressing you, listen, you don't know God, Jesus is going to take care of this. I'm going to commit this to the Lord. I'm going to cast this care over, come on him, because he is going to care for me. Oh, I tell you, this is helping me. Because the enemy tries to saddle you with care. See, that's his job, to weigh you down, make you toil, struggle, and so forth. Well, you can't serve two masters. You're going to either have to stop struggling and get the grace of God, or you're going to have to get the grace of God to stop struggling. Either way, you ain't going to struggle no more. Praise the Lord. All right? Just look what it says now. All right, you got it? Verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come to him. And he said to Philip, where can we buy bread that these may eat? He just said this to prove him. Keep going. For he himself what? Knew. He himself what? Knew. He himself what? Knew what he would do. He knew what he would do. How did he know what he would do? The same Holy Spirit that came on him when he came up out of that river from being baptized is the same Holy Ghost that came on you when you said, Jesus is my new Lord, Radaba Satalaba, and got filled with the same Holy Ghost. And his job is to take the ministry of Christ and to take care of you and prepare you and bring you back to where Adam was before the fall so that you'll know what to do. I know what to do. I know what to do. Come on now. See, you got to be a problem solver for the world. You are a global problem solver. You know what to do. But a lot of times we don't want to step out that far because, well, God may not. Hey, come on now. See, we sung them songs. May not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Stop all of that stuff. He's going to come when you want him. He's going to come right when you believe he's coming. He's coming tonight. King, don't be concerned about this anymore. I'll take care of it.
I'll be back with you tomorrow. And I'll tell you what you dreamed and what it meant. Say amen to that. Boy, when we were going to take those young people and teach them business, when we were still up on Madison Street and the ministry had just started and growing, and I tell you, I got called from one of the CEOs of one of the Fortune 5 companies. One of the assistants worked in our ministry, and she said he would like to see you because he'd like to do something for the black youth here in Chicago. And he wants to know what could he do. I said, okay, well, I'll go out and see him. So I went out and met him. Bob, how you doing? So forth and so on. He said, yeah. He said, Reverend, you know, I've been thinking, I've got all these resources here, and I just need to do something for these youth and so forth. Do you know what I can do? I said, tell you what, I don't know what you can do right now, but give me 7 days. I'll come back and tell you what you should do. Amen. I got 7 days, and 7 days God told me what to do and gave me 7 flip charts to show him. I came back, you know, I was polished by IBM, you know, and I came back and I tell you, I brought those things, showed him on the desktop, took him through one, took him through another, took him through another. That's it, Reverend. That's it right there. Now, I got $40,000 in my chairman's fund. Can you take that right now? I said, no, Doc, I have to set up a bank account first. I got to make sure everything, you know, IRS and all that, well, I ain't going to go to jail and so forth. Did it. Brought the kids in, start teaching them from that. Next thing you know, the school's calling us, asking us, what are we doing with these kids? So they turned around their math scores, they turned around so forth and so on. What are you doing with them? Now understand, I didn't know what to do when I was right there. But I told him, give me 7 days. Come on now. And I'm saying, what are you doing? You're not placing pressure on God. You're putting a demand on the covenant. Come on. The covenant of God that brings you wealth. Praise God. You don't have to toil another day in your life. Are you with me? Amen. Come on over to 2 Chronicles, please. Chapter 20. Glory to God. Your days of toiling are over. I said, your days of toiling are over. And he gets you to toil with anything. Toil with your hair. Toil with anything. Come on, I know I'm telling the truth. I may be stepping on your toes. If you can't say amen, say oh me. You know? Oh yeah. Toil with anything. Toil with relationships. Toil with trying the kids, trying to toiling with everything. Folks, there's an answer that will remove burden and destroy yours. It's called the wisdom of God. It's an anointing. Are you with me now? Praise God. Amen. So just lean on the Holy Ghost. See, God wants us to depend on Him. Say amen to that. He wants us to put full weight on Him. God will see me through. Say amen to that. All we got to do is be obedient. Sister Gloria Copeland preached a series some time ago called Hear and Do. That's all. Just hear it and do it. Hear and do. That's all. Remember in James, he said this. You know Dr. James? Y'all remember Dr. James? He said, you've been hearing the word, but you're not a doer of it. But if you hear and do, you will be blessed in your deed. Yeah. Hear and do. Just as simple as that. Deuteronomy, he started off with that from chapter 1. Just hear and do. By the way, Deuteronomy is a good book to read in the Old Testament. It's a powerful book. If you want to start a reading, read a couple of chapters a day or something. Powerful book. All right, where do I have you now?
Second Chronicles.
Second Chronicles. All right. Well, what are we talking about? Jehoshaphat. Right, right. But we're talking about no more toil. No more toil. Say this with me.
The toiling
in my life is over. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I will never
toil again.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. You want to start a business. You want to start a business. No more toil. No more toil. You want to, whatever it is, no more toil. Just commit it to the Lord. You can ask. He said, call on me and I will answer. See, call on him and then commit it to him and then believe you received it by faith. Just believe you've received it now. You got to believe you received it. And once you believe you received it, rest. Go do something else. God knows where you are. He'll get the answer to you. And sometimes you'll hear a little two-year-old call it out. You know what I mean? Yeah, but you will know his voice. You will know his voice. Say amen to that. So, in 2 Chronicles, this is when Jehoshaphat was surrounded by the enemy. He didn't know what to do. Come on, somebody in here. This is a good teaching for you tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And what happened was, so enemy had surrounded him, and he started calling on God. Verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. He said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the earth, all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel, and gavest it unto the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? Man, that's waking God up now, God. Not that he's asleep, but it's getting his attention. When you start talking about the seed, about Abraham, his friend. And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, so forth and so on. Verse 10. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither knoweth we what to do. Come on now. Y'all with me? We don't know what to do. I'm telling you, you can go before him and tell him, Lord, I don't know what to do. But you do. Ah, Lord. Glory to God. And what happened? But our eyes are upon you. That means we're not looking to the world for any answers. We are only looking for you. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And I'm telling you, God loves it when you depend on him. He loves it. Now, I'm not saying we as grown Christians don't know some things or can't use the word and so forth and so on, but I'm just saying, you come to that impasse and you don't know what to do, then step back, call on him. And once you do that, believe you received it by faith. Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, come on, and you shall have them. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem and Living Word Christian Center, and Tuskegee, and Colorado Springs, and all the internet listeners. Glory to God. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude or whatever's coming against you, for the battle is not yours. I said the battle is not yours. You won't have to toil another day in your life, but it's God's. Now, not only did he tell them that, he gave them a strategy. Now, tomorrow you go down against them. Behold, they're coming up by the cliff Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. You shall not need to fight this battle. You set yourself still, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not. I said, fear not. Neither be thou dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. That's all you want to know. I said, that's all you want to know. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Kohites, and stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they arose early in the morning and went forth. Now this reminds me of the time I didn't know what to do. We had been over in the Sheru across the street in the banquet hall, and they had now closed it. And so we had no place to go because we thought we were going, because we had purchased the mall, we were going to meet in the other side where Ultra is now, but that was vacant and we're going to meet there. But I got a call, and the call said, you cannot go in there. That the village has voted that you cannot have a church service in that mall. Now, that was Tuesday. Wednesday night was midweek service. I had told the people we were going over here. But they called me and said, no, cannot do it. We have voted, the city council has voted. Now, I'm not coming against them because they just did what they thought was proper to do. Plus the fact the administration has changed. Good folk now. And what happened? I got up early Wednesday morning. I said, Lord God, I'm telling you folk, when you get desperate, you get on your knees. Lord God. I'm telling you, thou art Lord over all the earth. We are your people. Right now, we look like we're homeless. No, I didn't say that. But I said, Lord, you know. Now, this is the day that I need deliverance. I'm calling on you, and I'm depending only on you, because I had no other source. There was no other source. And then the Lord spoke. Now, I'm telling you, I heard his voice like I'm hearing my own prayer. I heard it just like you're hearing me right now. He said, you get the Bible. Get and look up Romans 13. And he said, look at verses 1 through so-and-so. And then you take it and have it typed up. Tell your secretary not to type up King James, type up the living. He said, tell her to type it up big enough so you won't need your glasses. This is God giving instructions and strategies as to how to get me out of this tight place with all these thousands of people following. Say amen to this. I'm telling you, when you're in trouble, Jesus comes to you because you are his sheep and he'll not let you be embarrassed. And what happened is he gave me that. I took it. I didn't go back to him and say, now, wait a minute. Now, you telling me just to read this to her, the mayor? How is that going to do? I didn't say that. Because all you got to do is hear and do it. And I took it, and I called for a meeting. They said, Pastor, if it's about that mall, we've made decisions on that. I said, wait a minute. I said, I am right now a business resident of Forest Park, and I demand to see my mayor. Well, let me call you right back. Call me back, said she'll see you for about 3 minutes at about 12:30 or 1 o'clock, whatever it was. I said, okay, that's all I needed. I then took the paper. I'm going up there. Got my Sunday go to meeting and blue suede shoes. And I get in there and sit down. And Reverend, what can we help you with? And the lady was vacuuming. I'm in there trying to talk to the senior official over this village and somebody vacuuming in the office. I mean, that, you know, that was pure demonic. I kind of lowered my voice because I had to get that vacuum out of there. I lowered my voice so Mayor couldn't hear. She trying. She said, wait. Darling, can you come back in just a few minutes? I want to talk to Reverend here. And lady act like she was mad about it. Take a cord. I said, man, that ain't nothing but pure devil, boy. But I'm cool now because I got instructions. The battle is not mine. Telling you, we've been fighting and toiling and trying to do it ourselves. Those days are over. Every battle you're in right now, God's going to deliver you. He's going to take you right out of it. And I said, God's going to deliver you. I said it. I spoke it. I said it. The prophet had released it. The apostle said it right now. He's not giving you stuff that you can do on your own. He's giving you stuff that you got to get him on your side. He wants the world to know who he is. Come on now. He's been in the closet long enough. Everybody else coming out. We coming on out too. We coming out. And what happened? I read it and I got down to that place where it said that she was a minister and so forth, and looked like she kind of jumped like fearful. And she jumped up, said, Reverend, can you sit here a minute? Went in the other place, I guess where the building commissioner was, and then came back out. Reverend, I don't know what to do. I could tell visibly was disturbed. I could tell it. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I didn't know what had happened. I'm still there. I'm just trying to... And can I call you back in about, you know, a couple hours? Now, I'm not talking about her. Now, this is not putting any person down. I'm talking about the incident of how God can get you over. And watch this, in an impossible situation. It was impossible for Jehoshaphat. It was impossible for Abraham. It was impossible for Gideon. It was impossible for Mary. It was impossible for Sarah. It was impossible for the Moses on the Red Sea. It was impossible. I'm saying, what do you got for him that is impossible? Because this is your moment. This is your time. He's going to deliver you. I got a call about a couple hours later, said, Reverend, listen, now you can go in there tonight. I'm going to keep the policeman away. But you can go in there tonight, but this is the only night now you can go in there. I said, oh, Okay. So we went in there, but when we went in there, everything shifted. The law shifted.
Jesus.
Come on now. Favor shifted. Impossibilities shift. Attitudes shift. I won't read the rest of that. The problem was, they went out and began to praise God. See, when you know it's done, you'll start praising Him. When they did that, God set up ambushments. And all the enemies destroyed one another. Watch this. Until they were all dead corpses. Not one escaped. And Jehoshaphat and them didn't even touch them. I'm saying that the Holy Ghost's number one job is to take care of you. Take care of you. Isn't this wonderful? So now, what am I saying to you? God called speaking work. And I'm created in His image. Speak the word only. Do you hear what I'm saying? Did y'all get something out of that tonight? Give the Lord a praise. Glory! All right. Now, if you will, we want to receive an offering for tonight. Want to receive an offering. Now hear and do. He knows what your situation is. Just do what He says. That's all you. You don't have to figure it out. Nothing. Just hear and do. Yes. And guaranteed, this night is going to be the night for your deliverance.
Jesus!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
They got up early in the morning.
That's right. That's
went out and began to praise the name of the Lord. The mercy of God. The grace of God is sufficient. For He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Isn't that wonderful? Give us something now, Brother Wayne. Praise God.